الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading in the work نصيحتي للنساء, my advice to the women by عبد الله الوادعية حفظها الله تعالى. And we are closing the chapter, coming to the end of that which she has mentioned about the issue of the diseases and the ills of the tongue. من أفات اللسان, from the diseases and the ills of the tongue. And she has mentioned a number of affairs, and we have discussed many of these issues in detail, alhamdulillah. And again, the importance of this issue for the noble sisters to realize is that a person, they must rectify themselves first and foremost. So here, since this is directed to the sisters and specific advice for them, then it is incumbent for them to rectify their soul first and foremost, and to learn the obligation that is upon them with regards to the rights of their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, from fulfilling the rights of at-tawheed, and from completing that and perfecting that, and learning that which is obligatory, and learning that which is a commandment, it must be performed and is mandatory, and learning likewise that which is forbidden, and that which is impermissible, and that which is not allowed, as well as learning the affairs that are recommended, and learning the affairs that are disliked, and learning the affairs that are considered permissible. And in that, the sister, she must have much care and concern with learning her religion, beginning with the proper creed and belief, and making the deen sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, learning how to comply to that and to apply that outwardly. Once establishing the faith properly inwardly, it has to be realized and actualized outwardly and applied. So there must be al-ilmu wal-amal. There must be knowledge, and likewise, along with that, the application. So this work is very beautiful in the manner that it is begun like this. And the affairs of the heart, they are inside the heart, and they are from the issues of the unseen. And no one knows what is in the heart of a person except for them and their Lord. But this can be displayed and can be made well known from the conduct and the behavior of a person, specifically their speech. So there's a direct relationship between that which is in the heart and that which is apparent on the tongue, and then as well from the body parts. So what is in the heart, it is displayed in the speech of a person. So from the first affairs to rectify is the heart, and the sign that the heart is rectified is that the tongue is upright, is that a person's tongue is protected and is preserved and maintained and used in that which is good, and that which is permissible, and that which is allowed. And that it will refrain a person, he will hold back, or she will hold back their tongue from using it and the affairs of that which are impermissible. And this requires knowledge. So by learning these affairs here, these diseases of the tongue, this is light for a person to realize that this is from the means of earning the anger of Allah by way of the tongue. In reality, these affairs, they occur on the tongue because of a deficiency of faith in the heart and a weakness of tawheed in the heart, and the lack of care and concern for the deen of Allah and his commandments and prohibitions. So therefore, to rectify that affair first, my noble sister, and then after that, inshallah, you will be a means of benefit for yourself and for your family and for your children and your community, and you will be a light for them by the permission of Allah. And again, I remind, and this is the beautiful affair of this arrangement, after these chapters related to the diseases of the tongue, this manner like this, she began by discussing the issue of tarbiyatul awlad, raising and bringing up the children. So before a person can raise someone else upon goodness and piety, they must themselves be upon goodness and piety. And this is the aim and the goal. So we begin reading the last chapter that she mentioned with regards to afat al-lisan. And she says, al-lisanu qad yazni. Al-lisan qad yazni. Then the tongue, possibly it will commit fornication. The tongue, possibly it will commit fornication, and it will fall into this affair. And what is intended here is not the reality of the fornication that has the legal limit in punishment prescribed in the deen of Allah, but that the tongue could commit actions that are a means to lead a person to falling into this action of fornication. So it's considered from this aspect a type of fornication because it will lead to that, and it will be the means to that. And the tongue can make words and statements that will call to fornication, truthfully, like the real fornication, the real indecency, to fall into illegal sexual intercourse in reality. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And we'll see likewise that the eyes as well, they possibly can commit zina in the same manner, and the likes like this. So this is something to be aware of, that the tongue could be a means to fall into fornication. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So she says, كَمَا فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ بْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّهُ قَالَ مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا أَشْبَهَ بِاللَّمَمِ مِمَّا قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا أَشْبَهَ بِاللَّمَمِ مِمَّا قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ So she mentioned that it's been reported authentically in Bukhari and Muslim. From the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he said, that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, I have not seen anything more resembling to al-lamam. Al-lamam, the people of knowledge, they mention what is intended here, as-sagair, yani the minor sins. The minor sins. I have not seen anything more resembling to what is intended by the word al-lamam, meaning the minor sins, than the statement of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, whenever he narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "Inna Allah kataba 'ala bani Adam hadhahu min az-zina, adraka dhalika la mahala. Fa zina al-'ayni an-nadhar." وزين اللسان المنطق والنفس تمنى وتشتهي والفرج يصدق ذلك كله ويكذبه. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this narration, he said that indeed Allah has written, and He has decreed, and has been written with Him, and the decree, Subhanahu wa Taala, that Allah, He has written on the son of Adam His portion of fornication. His portion of zina, that this will occur and it's a must. So therefore, the fornication of the eye is that one he will look, and the fornication of the tongue is that one he will speak, and the soul, it hopes for this and craves that, and the private parts, they will testify to the truthfulness of that, and they have that desire, or it will deny that. So this is an amazing narration clarifying this affair that she's mentioning. Hafidha Allah Ta'ala. First and foremost, we see that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he's referring to the issue of the small sins. And he says, I never have seen an example any more resembling the issue of al-lamam. Al-lamam. Yani these are the small sins. And the small sins, they are those sins that occur from a person that do not reach the status of the major sins. And these small sins, they are expiated and forgiven by the righteous deeds and the righteous actions. As for the major sins, then they are not pardoned or expiated except by seeking sincere repentance and making tawbah, yani with the proper conditions. Allah referred to the righteous in His book, and He mentioned about them, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, describing those righteous people, that they are those who avoid the great sins. They are those who avoid the major sins, and they avoid illegal sexual intercourse and all actions of indecency, except for the small faults, meaning that they are not able to avoid those, any of those small sins, those sins that are considered minor. And indeed, your Lord, He is the one who possesses vast forgiveness. So the people, they fall into sin, no doubt about that. But from the characteristics and traits of the righteous is that they strive against their soul to avoid the major sins, like fornication. And other than that, from much of these sins of the tongue that we have discussed in the previous chapters. But as for the minor sins, then they may fall into them from time to time, from heedlessness or forgetfulness or from negligence and the likes like this. And those minor sins, they will be expiated by the righteous and good deeds, so long as a person avoids and stays away from the major sins. As for if a person, he was from those individuals who perpetrate and commit the major sins, then the righteous deeds will not expiate the minor sins. And this is a condition for the righteous deeds to expiate the minor sins is that a person, he must avoid the major sins. Allah, he mentioned, إِن تَجِتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. That if you avoid and stay away from the major sins that you have been forbidden from, then we will expiate from you your minor sins. So therefore, this is a great benefit here, to know that the sins are of different levels and severity. And this does not mean that one will take it lightly because it's a minor sin. Rather, the people of knowledge, they mention, al-israr ala as-saghira yusayyiruhu kabiratan, that a person who is to persist and continually commit minor sins, this will turn that minor sin into a major sin. And so there are minor sins, but if a person were to continue to do it and to persist upon it, and to persist upon that minor sin or those minor sins, then this persistence here and the continuation of that, as if a person, he has belittled the law of Allah and the commandments of Allah and had no care or concern for the limits of Allah, even though it's a minor sin, by any having this negligence and lack of care or concern for that and persisting upon that, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, this has caused it to be considered a major sin. And the Salaf, they used to say, do not look at the size of the sin, but look at the greatness of the one you are disobeying. Do not look at the size or the severity of the sin, but look at the greatness and the majesty of the one you have disobeyed. Oh, and then on top of that, we say that you did not disobey him except with the blessings that he provided for you. So we should be ashamed and we should be shy from that. The point is now that there are minor sins and there are major sins. But a believer, he will strive his best to avoid all sins at all times. So this is a benefit from here. An example of some of these minor sins, Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he's saying, this is some that I haven't seen an example more resembling these affairs than what Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu has narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَى بِنِي آدَمَ حَظَّهُ مِنَ الزِّنَى, that indeed Allah, he has written on the son of Adam his portion of fornication, his portion of zina. يعني أَدْرَكَ ذَلِكَ لَا مَحَالَ, that he's going to fall into that, and there's no way out. يعني it's a must that he may fall into that. يعني either is going to be from those who was decreed for him that he will fall into those major sins, or that he will be from those who did not fall into those major sins, but he looked, and he with lust, and he looked with desire and delight, or he spoke about that in the manner of lust and enjoyment and hoping and craving that, and the likes like this. Yani, so therefore he would be written against him this affair, because to speak about it or to look at it while desiring it and lusting it, any fornication and illegal sexual intercourse, this is any taking part in enjoying that and from the means that lead to that. So likewise, this is forbidden and not permissible. And it's considered a type of fornication. And if Allah has decreed that a person, he'll be free from that, then even if it crossed his mind and he thought about that, then as well, this is a type a fornication. And then even there are some of those whom Allah has purified entirely, and these affairs did not even cross their minds. The point is now that fornication and zina is different types. There's the major affair, which there is a legal punishment prescribed for, which is well known, and there are affairs that are lesser than that, but they are from the means that lead to that major affair. So they're also considered types a fornication, and that's what this narration is about. فَزِينَ الْعَيْنِ النَّظَرُ, so the zina of the eye is to look, is to look and to view that. Any the one that occurs along with lust and desire and pleasure and enjoyment, any desiring that affair. So a person, if he were to see or she were to see that which is impermissible, any from the opposite sex and the likes like this, And they were to turn away and to not desire that and to detest that and to seek refuge with Allah, to lower their gaze, to lower their gaze. They will not be held accountable for that first look. But if they looked, even if it was their first look, then they looked with pleasure, with ladha, with shahwa, with desire, and they took enjoyment in what they are seeing and looking at, now they will be held accountable. And this is what is intended here. وَزِينَ اللِّسَانِ وَالْمَنْطِقِ. And likewise, the fornication or the zina of the tongue is to speak about that. Is to speak about that and to talk about that and to say the words that lead to that, or will be a means of encouraging that and calling to that. وَالنَّفْسُ تَمَنَّى وَتَشْتَهِي. And the soul, it wants and desires and hopes for that. It craves that. And the soul, it desires these affairs. And this is something ingrained in the human being. But a believer must strive to put those desires in its proper place that is allowed, that Allah has allowed for those desires to be fulfilled with. And that is in a spouse, with the husband with his wife and the wife with her husband. The husband with his wife and the wife with her husband. And the one who puts his desires and his lust in this manner will have a reward. And the fact that they cooperate together upon that to keep each other chaste is also something that is praiseworthy, and one will have a great reward for that. For example, if one of them was not craving or having that desire, but the other was, then the other one will cooperate in order to fulfill the desire of his companion or her companion, in order to lighten that affair and to help keep them chaste and keep that desire in its proper place, so that they will not fall into fornication or be tempted to falling into fornication, or not even with their eyes and not even with their tongues, any before the private parts. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he says, وَالْفَرُجُ يُصَدِّقُ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ وَيُكَذِّبُهُ. And the private parts, it will testify to that. And it will go and get that, or it will deny that. Any meaning that this affair will occur. A person, he will look at that, enjoy that. This is called fornication, because it leads to fornication. Or a person, likewise, he will begin to speak about that, or to talk about that, or talk to others in order to bring that about. And he will move his tongue and speak in manners and need to bring about that affair. And this is likewise considered a type of fornication. The soul is lusting for that. It's wanting to perform that. And as for the private parts, then they will testify to that, meaning by falling into that, and they will partake in that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And then commit the major sin of fornication, by application and falling in that and performing that, really. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Or they will deny that. And there is a great benefit here, in that here the action of fornication with the private is considered a type of tasdeeq. Yani verifying that and falling into that. So action is tasdeeq, and the actions, they testify and they authenticate that which is in the heart. And the heart that is corrupted in desiring these affairs will have a tongue that speaks about these issues, and an eye that partakes and enjoys looking at them. And if one is not careful, then their private parts will verify that and testify to that and clarify that and perform the actions that will be a proof, yani, of that existing in their heart. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And if their privates, they deny that and they turn away from that, from fighting against the soul, then likewise this is a clarification of that affair. And that the person in his heart, he had the fear of Allah and he turned away from that. So this is a great narration from the benefits of that, the clarification that zina here is different types. And it occurs with the body parts in this manner, as it's mentioned. It could occur with the eyes. And this is by looking, yani, at the affairs that lead to zina, with lust and with desire. As for if a person did not look with lust and desire, then it's not considered zina. And likewise, speaking about that, it can occur with the tongue. And this is the evidence for the author. حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ وَتَعَالَى. It can occur with the tongue, meaning a person, he will talk about that. He or she will talk about that. They'll have conversations. They'll have friends. They'll have relationships. They'll speak with individuals, talking about it directly or indirectly, which is the means to lead up to that, saying the words and making the companionship and the friendship, and then eventually speaking any directly until that befalls. All of this is considered a type of fornication. And the soul is desiring this and craving this. And it's not considered true fornication, the one that has a legal punishment, until the private parts, they verify that by committing that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, or they will deny that. And this is what is incumbent, to deny that and turn away from it. To turn away from it with the eye and with the tongue. And also to strive against the soul and that desire that rises up, so that the private day will belie that and deny that, and a person, he will avoid that and not fall into that. And not fall into that. So we see that these are mentioned from the types of fornication because they are the means that call to fornication and lead to fornication. So they have the name in this manner. Although the rulings are different. Although the rulings are different. So now she says, وَاللِّسَانُ أَدَابُهُ كَثِيرًا. And this is very important. وَاللِّسَانُ أَدَابُهُ كَثِيرًا. And the tongue, its manners are many. There are many manners that one must abide by with their tongue. وَاللِّسَانُ أَدَابُهُ كَثِيرَةٌ. And the tongue, its manners are many. وَقَدْ أُلِّفَتْ فِيهِ الْمُؤَلَّفَاتِ كَبْنِ أَبِي الدُّنْيَا لَهُ مُؤَلَّفٌ بِعُنْوَانِ الصَّمْتِ وَأَدَابُ اللِّسَانِ وَالْبَيْهَقِي لَهُ مُؤَلَّفٌ فِي ذَلِكَ. So she says now that the authored works with regards to this, they are many. The authored works with regards to this, they are many. And Ibn Abi Dunya, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has an authored work with regards to this. Ibn Abi Dunya, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he's known as Abu Bakr, Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Dunya. And he's from the great scholars of hadith, who has collected narration and authored works of hadith in almost every topic and subject. He has many works where he has mentioned topics and issues in the religion and manners and etiquettes and worship and deen, ikhlas and the intention, truthfulness with Allah, and other affairs. Likewise, the noble conduct and manners, the foul conduct and the filthy manners. He has individual works on all of these topics where he gathered narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions and the tabi'een, narrating them with chain, clarifying these issues. He died in the year 281. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, from those works that he has one she mentioned, with the title of that is As-Samtu wa Adabu Lisan. As-Samt, yani being silent, and the manners of the tongue. And Al-Bayhaqi likewise. Al-Bayhaqi, he died in the year 458. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Likewise, he has some work with regards to the manners of the tongue. Rahimahumallahu ta'ala. So she's indicating now this affair, so a person who is diligent and wants to learn, they can refer to the likes of these books. And this is a benefit to learn about the authored works of the scholars of hadith and the people of the sunnah in order to know these works and to reference them and to benefit from them, especially whenever one learns the specific topics and the specific subjects. Yani if a person is looking for evidences and for benefits with regards to the issue of the tongue, then these are from those specific places that one will return to. She mentions now, وَالشَّاعِرُ يَقُولُ, and the poet, he says, أَلَمْ تَرَى مِفْتَاحَ الْفُؤَادِ لِسَانَهُ إِذَا هُوَ أَبْدَى مَا يَكُورُ مِنَ الْفَمِ وَكَأَنْ تَرَى مِنْ صَامِتٍ لَكَ مُعْجِبٌ زِيَادَتُهُ أَوْ نَقْصُهُ فِي التَّكَلُّمِ لِسَانُ الْفَتَى نِصْفٌ وَنِصْفٌ فُؤَادُهُ فَلَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا سُورَةُ اللَّحْمِ وَالدَّمِ. So she mentioned the statement of the poet and the meaning of it is, أَلَمْ تَرَى مِفْتَحَ الْفُؤَادِ لِسَانَهُ إِذَا هُوَ أَبْدَى مَا يَقُولُ مِنَ الْفَمِ. Do you not see that the key to the heart is its tongue, and that it clarifies that which is in it, and the heart clarifies that which is in it by way of the mouth. وَكَأَنْ تَرَى مِنْ صَامِتٍ لَكَ مُعْجِبٌ زِيَادَتُهُ أَوْ نَقْصُهُ فِي التَّكَلُّمِ. And you see the one who is silent, you may be amazed with him, but his increase or his decrease, meaning the goodness he has or the deficiency he has, will be displayed in his speech. And a person, whenever they're quiet, alhamdulillah, they're safe from blame. But if they speak, now it is known who they are. Are they from the intellects and those who are intelligent and those who fear Allah? Or are they from the fools and those who are light-minded and those who do not fear Allah? This is clarified whenever they begin speaking. لِسَانُ الْفَتَى نِصْفٌ وَنِصْفٌ فُؤَادُهُ فَلَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا سُورَةُ اللَّحْمِ وَالدَّمِ. And a young man, his tongue is half of him, and his other half is his heart, and therefore there's nothing left except the image of blood and flesh. And he meaning that the reality of an individual is found here, and the essence of a person is found in these issues here, in the heart and in the tongue. And the heart and in the tongue. The rest is just the body and the image. And that which is considered, and that which a person is held accountable for, and likewise that which a person is known for, is that which is in their heart and that which is on their tongue. And again, that which is in the person's heart is hidden, is not apparent to the people, but it is made known and apparent by way of the tongue, first and foremost. And then after that, likewise, by way of the actions as well. By way of the actions as well. The people of knowledge, they say, Al-mar'u bi-asgharayhi. Al-mar'u bi-asgharayhi. Bi-asgharayhi. That an individual, he's considered and held accountable, and he's known, likewise, by way of the two most smallest portions of him. And he, by his two most smallest portions. Bi-asgharayhi. Yani al-qalba wal-lisan. What is intended here, the heart and the tongue. And although the heart and the tongue are from the most smallest organs of the body, they're the most dangerous. They're the most dangerous. And they're the ones that a person, he must show the most concern with rectifying. Some people, they will strive to purify themselves, and physically and outwardly, meaning they will be cautious in the type of nutrition that they eat, and they'll look at the labels and the ingredients in detail. And there's no blame in this, alhamdulillah. And likewise, they'll be very concerned with their physical appearance and lifting weights and exercising and walking and running and jogging, so on and so forth. And there's no blame in this likewise. But the blame is if a person were to show concern to this and neglect that which is even more severe, and neglect that which takes precedence and has more right for one to be cautious and careful with regards to, yani, and that one should strive to purify and keep safe and healthy and clean. And that is the heart. And that is the tongue. And that is the heart, and that is the tongue. So the heart, likewise, a person must care for that and must nourish that and keep it safe, and only put in one's heart that which is beneficial and that which is good, and avoid anything that is harmful. So for a person to have diligence to look at the ingredients and the nutrients on the food that they eat, and then they put in their heart every last type of sin and lust and desire for that which is impermissible, and all the different types of doubts and misconceptions and the likes like this, then this is a foul way. And the heart should be preserved and maintained and kept clean before even the body. Before even the body, because a person, he will be held accountable for this. So the way that leads to the heart, the avenues that lead to the heart, there are the eyes and the ears. The eyes and the ears. So by looking at that which is impermissible and partaking in that, enjoying that, and listening to that which is impermissible, from the foul sounds of the music and the likes like this, and likewise from the foul callers and those people who are unknown, who speak about their religion, and a person does not know where they learned from or who they benefited from, and they're not known. And many times they will speak with doubts and misconceptions, and making the falsehood seem fair, appealing as if it's the truth, and the likes like this, and making the truth seem as if it's falsehood because of their eloquence, so on and so forth. By listening to the likes of these affairs, a person, he's exposing his heart becoming corrupted and exposing his heart to danger. And by looking at these foul affairs or listening to the foul affairs, likewise of the issues that are impermissible, a person as well is exposing their heart to being overcome for the lusts and the love of this worldly life, and falling into sin and transgression. So the heart, likewise, it has to be preserved and protected, and it must be kept clean, as well as the tongue. As well as the tongue. And whenever the heart is truly clean, the tongue will be clean as well. And whenever the heart is upright, then the tongue will be upright as well. Will be upright as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, which is authentic, لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه. That a person, his faith will never be upright and correct until their heart is upright and correct. And a person's heart will never be upright and correct until their tongue is upright and correct. So the faith is upright by way of the heart. And this is because the faith, it lies in the heart, and it's rooted in the heart. And this is where the actions of faith proceed from. And from the greatest actions of faith of that which is on the tongue. So the Salaf, they used to say that the heart is like pots and the tongues, they're like ladles or spoons that dish out that which is inside. So the same way a person, he would taste the sweetness or the bitterness of the food that's in the pot, then likewise the people, they will taste the sweetness or the bitterness of that which is in the hearts from that which their tongues dish out for them. So a person, no doubt, he's held accountable for that which is in his heart and that which is on their tongue. So this is something that a person will remember. The reality of an individual, as is mentioned here, لِسَانُ الْفَتَى نِصْفٌ وَنِصْفٌ فُؤَادُهُ فَلَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا سُرَةُ اللَّحْمِ وَالدَّمِ. So half of an individual, and he is his tongue. His tongue is half of him and the other half is his heart. And there's nothing remaining after that except for the image of blood and flesh. And so this is an important affair. So she says, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ وَعَلَيْنَا أَن نَدُؤُوَ اللَّهَ أَن يُسَدِّدَ أَلْسِنَتَنَا وَمِنْ دُعَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَسَدِّدْ لِسَانِي أَخْرَجُوا أَبُو دَاوُودَ عَنِ ابْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا مُطَوَّلًا. So she says now, and if this is the case, then it's incumbent for us, and all of us, it's incumbent for us that we call on Allah and supplicate to Him to make our tongues be straight and upright, to make our tongue straight and upright. And from the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say, "Wasaddid lisani." And this is a portion of a supplication and the end of it. It's a long supplication, very beautiful. That's collected, actually mentioned by Abu Dawood, and likewise the Tirmidhi, and it's authentic from the Hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And in the end of it, from the things the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is supplicating for, "Wasaddid lisani," and make my tongue upright. Upright, yani tasdeed was sadat, is that a person, and with the tongue, is that they will say that which is correct. They'll say that which is good and beneficial, and then they'll avoid from saying anything that is not correct or anything that is not good and beneficial. So this is a beautiful supplication. Wasaddid lisani. Rather, to memorize the whole supplication is even greater. But even if a person was not able to, then to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify the tongue, and to aid a person to say that which is good and to avoid that which is impermissible and bad. And with the tongue and the speech and the likes like this, this is something that a believer will hope for. And this is something that a believer will call Allah for, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to do. So she says, وَعَلَّمَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بَعْضَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَهُوَ شَكْلُ ابْنُ حُمَيْدٍ أَنْ يَقُولَ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ سَمْعِي ومن شر بصري ومن شر لساني ومن شر قلبي ومن شر منيي أخرجه أبو داود وكلاهما في الصحيح المسند والخطاب وإن كان لهذا الصحابي فهو عام للأمة كما هو مقرر في القواعد الأصولية. So she says now, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he taught some of his companions, and he was Shakl Ibn Humayd radiyallahu anhu, to say, O Allah, Allahumma, inni a'udhu bika min sharri sam'i, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the evil of my hearing, wa min sharri basari, and from the evil of my eyesight, wa min sharri lisani, and from the evil of my tongue, wa min sharri qalbi, and from the evil of my heart, wa min sharri maniyi, and from the evil of my sperm. أخرجه أبو داود. And this has been narrated by Abu Dawood. She says, this narration and the other one previously, both of them are collected in the work of her father, As-Sahih Al-Musnad, Rahimahullah, meaning that he has declared them to be authentic. And she says, Wal-Khitab, meaning the address here, that this narration is directed to this companion specifically, but it is for the Ummah in general. And this is because this is something established in the principles of Usul al-Fiqh. And what she's referring to is that the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, they have a principle, they say, Al-Ibratu bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. And this is a very beneficial principle. Al-Ibratu bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. That what is considered, any from the text, and the ruling that is derived, is the generality of the text. Is the generality of the text and not the specific reason. Or the generality of the terms and the words that are being used, and the generality, yani, of the wording, and not the specific reason. So although this narration here was directed to a specific companion, what is intended for the ummah to benefit from that in general, meaning that it's legislated for us to make the likes of this supplication. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the evil of my hearing. The hearing, if it's not protected, and if Allah does not give one success, it will be used in that which is evil. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And from the evil of my eyesight, the eyesight likewise can be a means of evil if it's not maintained and preserved in the proper manner. And likewise the tongue. And this is a shahid for the author here, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهِ. And from the evil of the heart as well. And from the evil of the heart as well, and from the evil of the sperm. What is intended here? That I need the private parts. The private parts. So beginning to seek refuge with the evil of the hearing and the evil of the sight, which are the avenues to the heart. And then the evil of the tongue, which clarifies that which is in the heart. And then ending with the evil of the tongue, and then the evil of the sperm or the semen. Any of those desires that are impermissible. So a believer, he will seek refuge with Allah from the likes of these affairs, and likewise the believing woman. So she says, وَيُقُولُ الشَّاعِرُ إِحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ لَا يَلْدَغَنَّكَ إِنَّهُ ثُعْبَانُ كَمْ فِي الْمَقَابِلِ مِنْ قَتِيلِ لِسَانِهِ كَانَتْ تَخَافُ لِقَاءَهُ الشُّجْعَانُ. And she mentioned the statement of the poet, whenever he said, O man, protect your tongue. Oh man, guard your tongue. Indeed, Oh man, guard your tongue. Do not let it bite you. Indeed, it's a snake. Oh man, he's talking to you, to an individual, that you should guard your tongue. Do not let it bite you. Indeed, it's like a snake. Or indeed, it is a snake. What is intended? Indeed, it's like a snake. How many people in the graves that their tongue has killed them, those who are brave, used to fear facing or meeting any in battle. And meaning that many people, they were afraid of the enemy and meeting them in battle and the likes like this, and they should have been afraid of their tongue. And even if a person, he had met the enemy and died like that, he will be held accountable for that which he has said. So many people, that which will destroy them in the hereafter and earn them the anger of Allah, and that which will harm them more than the enemy will harm them physically, is the statements that they have made with their tongue. And this is the point. وَمَا مِنْ كَلِمَةٍ تَصْدُرُ مِنَ الْفَمِ إِلَّا وَيَكْتُبُهَا الْمَلَكَانِ الْمُوكَلَانِ بِذَلِكَ قَالَ تَعَالَى مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ فَقَوْلٌ نَكِرَةٌ وَالنَّكِرَةُ فِي سِيَاقِ النَّفِي تُفِيدُ الْعُمُومَ وَإِذَا زِيدَتْ قَبْلَهَا لَفْظَةٌ مِنْ تَكُونُ أَقْوَى فِي الْعُمُومِ. So she says, and that there is no statement that comes from the mouth except there are two angels that are entrusted to write that. And Allah, He has said, that a person, he will not pronounce any word whatsoever except there is an angel ready to write. And she says the word statement here, and it is indefinite. And whenever a word that is indefinite is mentioned in the context of negation, it means it has a general meaning, an encompassing meaning. For this reason, we translate it to mean, he will not pronounce any statement whatsoever, except there is an angel ready to write. So the any statement whatsoever is understood from the context of this sentence and from the fact that this word is nakira and it's in the context of negation. This is a great benefit to learn from, this is a great benefit that one will learn while learning the Arabic language and after that learning the principles of usul al-fiqh. And she says, and whenever the min is also in this context as well, it even becomes more general and more general. So ما يلفظ من قول من قول, he does not pronounce any word whatsoever, إلا لديه رقيب عتيد, except there is an angel that is ready to write into inscribe that in a scroll. So she says now, ومن العلماء من قال لا يكتب من الأعمال لا يكتب من الأعمال إلا ما فيه ثواب أو عقاب لا يكتب من الأعمال إلا ما فيه ثواب أو عقاب وَأَنَّ فِي الْآيَةِ حَذْفًا يُقَدَّرُ وَتَقْدِيرُهُ مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ مُسْتَوْجِبٍ لِلْجَزَاءِ وَالْأَصْلُ عَدَمُ الْحَذْفِ فَتَبْقَى الْآيَةُ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهَا فِي أَنَّهَا عَامَّةٌ فِي جَمِيعِ الْكَلَامِ انظري أضواء البيان الشنقيطي رحمه الله. So she says about this verse now that some of the people of knowledge have said that nothing is really from the actions except that which is related to a reward or a punishment, that nothing is written from the actions except that which is related to a reward or a punishment. And that this verse here, there is something that is deleted, but it is implied. And that means that that person, he will not pronounce any word that necessitates a recompense, any whether good or bad, and he accepts that there's an angel ready to write. But she mentions that the principle, the fundamental principle, is that there's nothing deleted in here, or there's no implied meaning here. The origin is that there's no implied meaning. Rather, the verse stays upon what is apparent from the text, and that is that it's a general understanding, and that everything is written. And that everything is written. She says now, in reference, look, O sister, to the book Adwa al-Bayan by Ash-Shanqiti. Ash-Shanqiti, Muhammad Amin Ash-Shanqiti, rahimahullah, the great scholar of our day. He is Shaykh al-Shuyukhina. He is the great Shaykh and scholar of our teachers. And from the likes of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin. He is the teacher of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin. And many times I would hear Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, hafidhahullah, referring to his sheikh, and he would say, "Qala Shaykhuna Ash-Shanqiti fi tafsirihi," and he would refer to the likes of this tafsir and other works that he has as well. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. One of the greatest and most beneficial tafsirs that we have today is from the tafsir of Shaykh Ash-Shanqiti, rahimahullah. Adwa'ul Bayan fi idahi al-Qur'ani bil-Qur'an. Fi idahi al-Qur'ani bil-Qur'an. And he was striving in that work to clarify the verses of the Qur'an by the other verses in the Qur'an. Yani mentioning the verses that are similar. And he mentioned great benefits in rulings and ahkam and differences of opinion in fiqh and benefits in the Arabic language and in poetry and also many other benefits in tafsir and likewise hadith. It's a great and beneficial work. So she's saying to refer to this issue to learn more about that which she discussed. So now she says, وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْ نِسَاءِ الْيَوْمِ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْ نِسَاءِ الْيَوْمِ تُطْلِقُ لِسَانَهَا فِي الْكَلَامِ وَكَأَنَّهَا لَا تَدْرِي أَنَّهَا سَتُجَازَى عَلَى عَمَلِهَا وَكَلَامِهَا إِنْ خَيْرًا فَخَيْرٌ وَإِنْ شَرًّا فَشَرٌ. So she says now that much of the women today, they just use their tongue freely without any consideration whenever they speak, as if she does not even know that she's going to be held accountable for her actions and her statements. If she has done or said good, then she will have good, and if she has done or said evil, then she will have evil. Then she will have evil. There is a few more pages or issues to discuss in this last chapter. And we close at this portion here, and we begin next week at this statement here. وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْ نِسَاءِ الْيَوْمِ. And many of the women today, they use their tongue freely in speech as if they are not going to be held accountable for what they do and what they say. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمٍ.